We're in lesson 52 in the book of Matthew. As we study the book of Matthew in a dispensational view, we come to some understandings at this point what the Lord Jesus Christ himself in his earthly ministry is dealing with. We also found out the fact that when he handpicked the 12, he's working with that little flock and instructing them how they are to present themselves and act and govern himself outside of his presence, without him being there. Does that make sense? So he's telling them, hey, the kingdom's coming, but there's a twist we're getting ready to go to. And we left off in chapter 16 is where we're at, verse 21. And it was funny in verse 20 that after he told them and he gave Peter the keys to the kingdom, verse 19, of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. And I know it sets back some people like, wait a minute, wouldn't you not want to go tell every man that he is Jesus the Christ? And not only that, he gave me the keys to the kingdom, and whatsoever I bind on earth is bound in heaven. You know, I'd be all over this place. Look at me boasting. But the fact is, he's telling them that because at this point in the nation Israel, he is no longer dealing with that nation. The nation has rejected them as a whole. And if you remember, God came to his own, did he not? And he came to the nation Israel as a whole because he dealt with the nation Israel. But he also knows, we found out that he's the nation as a whole, the leaders that's supposed to acknowledge that he was Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, and acknowledge who he was and welcome him into that authority seat, they refused that. They rejected that. So look at verse 21. From that time forth, Jesus began to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. You see that? I underline mine in my Bible. From that time forth, he began to show them what? He tells his disciples he must go and die to the cross. Okay, up to this point, the disciples did not know he was going to die. Now, I know, despite everything we've ever been taught in our young Bible study life, we always say, well, he's coming to die. He's coming to die. You can know that through Paul that he was born to die, but you're not going to find that anywhere because up to this point he begins to change the message. Look in Luke chapter, hold your finger there and go to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 51. Luke chapter 9, verse 51. Verse 44 says this. Let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. But they understood every word he had to say. They understood what? Not these sayings, and it was hid from them that they perceived it not, but they feared to ask him of that saying. Now go to verse 51. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Why Jerusalem? That's the city of the great king, isn't it? And sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into the village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was though he would go to Jerusalem. He's setting his sight to Jerusalem, and nothing's going to deter him from going. Go to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. And by the way, this is prophecy, okay? You can find that all through the Bible that he's going to Jerusalem to die. Psalms 22, Psalm 69, Isaiah 53, all points to the fact that there's going to be a Lord Jesus. Well, go back to Genesis 3:15. Talks about a Redeemer to redeem mankind. But Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Verse 16. For where a testament is, there must also the necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is no strength at all. The testator liveth. So, has Jesus Christ died yet where we're at? So are they a testimony? Oh, in Hebrews, what we just read, he's already dead. But go back to Matthew chapter 16, where we're at. Has Lord Jesus Christ died yet?
No.
So, you know the last will and testimony? You ever heard that? What is that? Is that why you live? Or is it read after you die?
Before you die.
And then but it don't come legal until what?
Until you're dead.
I want you to think about that when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Because it's not the New Testament. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as it written in your Bible, when you open up Matthew, it says New Testament. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is not dead yet. He only dies in the last chapter of Matthew, last chapter Luke, last chapter Mark, and last two chapters of John. That's where it's recorded that he's dead. You with me? So right now, the Lord Jesus Christ is still under the
Old Testament.
That was ratified not in Genesis 1:1, but in Exodus chapter 20, is when it was when it was done. When Moses spread blood, that sealed and acknowledged that there's a testament going on, and it was all the way through this point here. So there's three great. Go back to Matthew 16. So when he goes and tells them this, there's three great mistakes that people are making. One I just shared with you. The beginning of the Old Testament in Genesis 1. You've heard that all your life, haven't you? This is the Old Testament. When it really began in Exodus chapter 20. That's when the New Old Testament started. Number two mistake. Beginning of the New Testament in Matthew 1. When it really began after the crucifixion of Christ. You just read what the death of the testator.
Matthew is a transitional book from Old to New.
Absolutely. It's showing you what this part over here is going to take place. That's why Matthew, Acts, and Hebrews are very, very important books to understand. That it's hard to understand if you don't know where they're at. Matthew is not a present book, or it wasn't a present book for them. It was a future book to show them how they're going to deal with in this period over here. Then the third mistake that people make is making the body of Christ in Acts 2 when it really began with who? The Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9. So those are three great mistakes that people use, are mistakes. But somehow, or something, you should know from this point right here, going back to verse 21, he is no longer going to the throne, but he's going to the what? The cross, the tree. Remember back in hold your finger and go back Matthew 4. Matthew 4. Matthew 4. After the Lord was done was baptized, he went up on the mountain, was tempted by the devil, and verse 17 says, From that time Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at. That does not change till you get to right here. When it says in verse 21 of Matthew 16, from that time forth he began to show Jesus to show unto his disciples that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised again the third day. He's no longer going to that throne. He's no longer preaching the kingdom of heaven is at. He's going to the tree. Go to the next verse. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Excuse me. I'm using. I got to get verse 22. Then Peter took him and began to say, "Praise God, hallelujah, Messiah is here, we're going to the kingdom." Is that what it says?
Yes, sir.
It says that he began to rebuke him. Now who's him? The Lord. And he says, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." Wonder why? He's been with them all them years saying, "Hey, you're going, I'm the king. The kingdom of heaven's at hand." And all of a sudden, Jesus is saying what? "I'm going to the tree. This shall not be." If Peter, now this is something that you've got to really understand here. What did the Lord Jesus Christ just say in verse 21? He's going to the tree, right? He's going to die. What did verse 22 says? Did Peter acknowledge that and praise God, hallelujah? This should tell you something, that Peter, if Peter preached the same gospel that Paul preached about the death, burial, and resurrection to put away sin, then Peter would not have responded this way.
Very good, yeah.
So go to Acts chapter 2. Here's what Peter preached about the cross. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. I'll never forget verse 14. I'll never forget verse 16. I'll never forget verse 22, how it starts out. And Peter stood up, verse 14, with 11. How many does that make? You did that without taking your shoes off, didn't you? Now, so was Paul there?
Nope.
So Paul was not part of that 12 apostles.
Can you tell me why theologians with all their degrees can't see this?
Well, you should know why with all your degrees, brother. You got just as many degrees, and you're not going to fool me. Lifted up his voice and said, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be it known unto you, and hearken to my..." Ye men of who?
Judea.
Now where was you at? Look at verse 16. "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." This is that. This is prophesied. Look at verse 22. "Ye men of Israel..." You see this? Those right there changed my young Christian mind when I was stuck deep in a Baptist realm. I can say that. And these dispensationalist brother came to me and just showed me these verses. And I took it to the study time and just said, who's he talking to? Oh, he's talking to Jew. And kept reading like it was no big deal. That's why most of them do that. They read it like it's no big deal. Verse 22. "Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs." Now who requires signs? Jews. "And did he not do miracles and wonders? He walked on water." There's only one person in the whole Bible can walk on water. That's God. He calmed the waves. That makes me chilled. Because they had God in his midst. And he says, "Which God did by him in the midst of you. And ye yourself also know, him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God." Now, what about that now? Foreknowledge of God, was it foretold? That he would go to Jerusalem and die? Yeah. "And ye were to have taken him by wicked hands..." Excuse me. "And by the love acknowledged him..." No. "You with wicked hands have crucified and slain." That's what Peter preached about the cross. Was that good news or bad news?
Not good.
And then if you read on down through there, he talks about David and how David's not there and you know all this stuff. And he talks about Jesus Christ raised him up in verse 32. And verse 37 says, "Now when they heard this..." Heard what? The good news that Christ died for their sins and buried and rose again, right? you with wicked hands. That's what they heard. Peter was preaching a murder indictment, if you will, on that little group of people that didn't believe and was convicting them. And what did it say? And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? A lot of people say, what shall we do to be saved? You listen to these people out there. That's error. Peter preached a convincing message, like you and I should preach a convincing message about the cross. Not that it was wicked, but it's good news that Christ died our sins, is it not? Go back to Matthew 16. That's what Peter blames Israel for the cross. Well, don't go back to 16. Stay right there at Acts for a second. You saw what he said to do, right? He pricked their hearts, and then turns around and says, then Peter stood up, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, let me ask you something. Where's the blood work of the cross right there?
Not there.
Where's the blood? Where's the death, burial, and resurrection in that passage right there? Be honest with me, man. Ladies. It's not there, is it? So how in the world can you get the same message that Paul preached, this same, a continuation of Acts chapter 2 of Pentecost that Paul preached? And if that's not sad enough, go to Acts chapter 3. He's preaching again to the nation Israel. And he says in verse 17 of Acts chapter 3, and now, brethren, I wroth that ye, through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. He took, Acts chapter 2, Peter did, he took the fact that you with wicked hands, murder indictment, to change it over here to, you did it ignorantly. Wouldn't you like to have him for a lawyer? Because you know what it just did? That's a lesser offense. A manslaughter offense, if you think about it. But look at this. But those things which God, verse 18, before showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. So Peter's using the scriptures, pointing at the fact that, hey, he was going. But look at this. Repent ye therefore, and trust that Christ died for your sins according to scriptures, and rose again the third day according to scriptures.
Not what it says.
It still don't say that, does it? It says, be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. That still don't tell me I'm in my sins. That tells me if I believe that gospel there, I'm still in my sins. And it's not going to be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come. When is that going to be? Over here. That's when they get their sins blotted out. And people need to wake up and see that. Because God, through Paul today, that preaches a clarity gospel that Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. And he tells you in chapter 5 of Romans, verse 11, that you have now received the atonement. You don't have to wait for this. People out there better wake up. Man, God's will to have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. This is truth. This truth will set you free out of a religious system. Hopefully you already trusted Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again for your salvation. Just don't be ignorant. Go back to verse 23, Matthew. Then Jesus, but he turned. After Peter said they took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall be not be unto thee, verse 23, but he turned and said unto Peter, O brother, where art thou? He says, get thee behind me. Think about that for just a second. He just, four or five verses before that, Peter just called him Son of God. Flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, Peter. Got a revelation, and then the Lord Jesus Christ gives him the keys of authority in his absence. And what did the Lord Jesus Christ just call him? You want to follow him? Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of... He's not thinking about what Jesus Christ just told him. And many of us, I'd be venture to say, we don't think about what Jesus Christ tells us either in the Word of God. We go on thinking our man's thing. You know, our human mind will not ever understand what this Word of God says. Because we've been trained to ignore God's Word from birth. If you think about it. Jesus said it's too late. He's trying to tell him, get behind me, Satan. He's telling, Jesus is saying it's too late for the nation to recognize him as the Messiah. That's what Peter said, no, be far from thee, Lord. You're the Messiah. But he turns and says, get behind me, Satan. You're an offense to me. He's trying to tell Peter that, hey, the nation Israel, what we talked about earlier, the nation Israel will not receive him and recognize him as the Messiah. Now he's on his way to the cross. And you're not stopping it, Peter. You're not stopping it. This is where you follow in the prophetic scriptures, the sufferings and then the glory.
What it made them, what were they looking for in the Messiah? That they were
so the king. The king. That's what Matthew's all about. The king is here. The kingdom of heaven is at hand.
If he would have said, I'm the king or whatever, they would have followed him.
Well, I believe so. But he did, and who didn't? The nation Israel as a whole. That's what we was talking about earlier, about the little flock. He chose that little flock, a foolish nation, within this nation, to follow him. But they had to do it as a whole. I think a lot of people don't recognize that and understand that. So he pulls out that little nation. He says, okay, you're the nation. I'm dealing with you. And all things given to you. The Lord begins in Matthew 16:20 to introduce the sufferings and the glories that will follow. In verse 23, Lord rebukes Peter because Peter is now operating on human viewpoint. You just read it. It said, but those that be of men and not the divine truths of God. This should teach us something here. Not you're going in a kingdom. The fact that, hey, when we, once again, if we look at the Word of God or try to do things in a human viewpoint, I'm most miserable. You know, might have been this week or last week, something like that. I just got very discouraged. And all it was is just thinking about this human viewpoint, how I would like to see things. And I'm like, you know something? I just got to straighten up here. It ain't about me. It's about doing what's right and just staying right. You know, verse 24 through 26. But that's a big verse there, isn't it? And Jesus said unto the disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And what shall a man gain in exchange for his soul? Jesus, Lord Jesus Christ, makes it very clear that if any man comes after him, they must deny themselves. Bear your cross. Take up your cross. You know what that means? Anybody? It means to bear the rejection that you will experience as long as you are in the Lord as his disciples. Because when he picks up that cross, the cross is a symbol of rejection, humility. So when people use that quite a bit, oh, you got to take up your cross, you got to follow Christ. If you're going to follow him here, you took it up because, hey, you're going to be rejected, you're going to be humiliated, and you're going to share it together with Christ. That's what he's saying. And in the kingdom program, the cross is a symbol of the Lord. I can just share the Lord's rejection and compare the meaning of the cross. And in the mystery program, is it rejection if you believe the cross? In this program here, dispensation of grace? No, it's glory. The preaching of the cross is to them who perish fully. We preach the cross as good news, not a rejection. And the passage addresses here the suffering of the Lord and faithful little flock which will forsake all. Which shall, for verse 27. Let's work through this rest of this chapter. Verse 27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father and with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his what? Well, why would you get the Son of Man? This is a whole prophecy program wherein presenting and suffering and glory that will follow. Those that suffer will reward when glory comes according to the works. What kind of rewards are they going to get? Kingdom rewards. They get to sit on thrones. They get to govern people. That's a good reward, is it not? I believe the Bible teaches all through that. Justification, you believe God, He counted for righteousness. Period. In any dispensation. Sanctification come when you separated yourself. Israel had to separate themselves from the world. And when they did that, guess what they got? Rewards. They got to be priests. They got to live. They get to walk into a kingdom. And if you didn't do what God says, and you didn't sanctify yourself back then, guess what you didn't get to do? Physically go into a kingdom. That was all about their whole idea of setting a promise of eternal life in a kingdom. That's good rewards for them. Verse 28. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. You know what this was? An assurance and comforting, that statement that the Lord made to the little flock and let them know that they will inherit the kingdom. There's some of you be standing here right now will not taste death. That'd be assurance, wouldn't it?
But there, they all tasted death.
We know that. Why not? If they all, we know that they all tasted death, why? The kingdom didn't get established. And there's people out there today trying to establish a kingdom, okay? And the kingdom has not come.
So those that are alive and are the little flock won't taste death.
Those people are not still living, are they?
They tasted death.
So that tells me something didn't happen. The kingdom didn't come. And that's a literal, physical kingdom, by the way. It's not a spiritual kingdom like a lot of people says. Go to Matthew. Let's look at some verses right quick. Matthew 10. Let's see if we can explain why the kingdom's not come. Matthew 10. Matthew 10, verse 23. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. They got to go all the cities of Israel till the Son of Man come. Okay, look at the verse six, chapter 16, verse 28. We just read that. Taste of death. Look at chapter 23, verse 39. Verse 37 says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, though thou killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathered her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. You know who he's talking to? The nation Israel. He leaves the house. That's why when he leaves the house, he goes to that little flock, Peter, James, and John. He starts dealing with them. Verse 39. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now, where's that?
Ages to come.
Over in Hebrews through Revelation. Chapter 24. Verse 24. For they shall rise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it was possible, they shall deceive the very elect. You think about that. If it was possible. So if you, let me ask you that. If you truly saved in your heart and in your mind, can you be deceived? It's possible, isn't it?
Yeah.
I see people every day falling. And they're not falling, even if they're saved. I can't tell if you're saved only through your testimony. But God knows your heart, right? But when you fall from grace, that don't mean you lost your salvation. It means you're going back under a law system. And that's what people does. And I've witnessed it over the years and years and years, and it can happen to any of us. I pray that it don't, you know, but it can. The things that we looked at, these meant if you do this conditional event, if Israel had accepted her Messiah, it would have taken place. And the interruption of the prophetic program with the mystery program puts all this on hold. All this on hold. With what God is doing today in the mystery program, it's just put that on hold. And next week, I want y'all to look at Matthew 17. We'll read through it and then we'll pick it up next week as far as our study. And after six days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John. Does that sound familiar? Peter, James, and John? Didn't Paul talk to Peter, James, and John? You know, only God could put those together. Why didn't Paul say, well, John and James and Peter? Peter, James, and John. Bringeth them into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as a sun, and his raiment was white as a light. And behold, there appear unto them Moses and Elias taken with him. Now, I'm just going to give you a little tidbit about next week. You got Moses and Elias. Some of you will not taste death. Okay? Did Moses die?
Yeah.
Okay. Where was he at here? He's resurrected, wasn't he? So he's showing the kingdom saints that, hey, you can die, and I'm going to resurrect you. You're going in kingdom. But did Elias die?
No.
So some of you are standing here today will see he's representing the living ones. Perfect picture here, what he's sharing that explaining him, some of you will not receive death. Father, we do thank you for the day. We thank you for so much in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.